Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. As always, we have a great guest on today, and this is going to be a fun episode because we're going to talk about math. And you might think boring, but it's actually not, because I'm learning that math can be fun. If you're anything like me, you may have grown up as a student who hated math. But believe it or not, there are actually people in this world who love math, and I'm talking to one of them today. His name is Nadeem Al-Rahi, and he's from CTC Math. CTC Math is a huge blessing to the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. As you've just heard, they've joined with us as a sponsor of the podcast, and they're also a premier sponsor of the upcoming Homegrown Generation Family Expo. We're so thankful for their support. But we're not here to talk about CTC Math as a company. We're here to talk about how to make math fun and how to engage your kids in it and teach them effectively. So Nadeem, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. As you can see, I'm in my office, so ignore everything behind me. Just focus on me.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, you are in your office coming to us from Australia, which I think you told me you're about 16 hours ahead of my time zone, which is Eastern Standard Time. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so it's somewhere 7 o'clock here, so 11 o'clock in the morning, your time.
That's it. You're pretty good at math.
Yeah, right. Well, and you're tomorrow. You're into our tomorrow. And so as you and I were talking earlier, you know, you could tell us everything about what happens tomorrow, winning lottery numbers. Right. You know, if Super Bowl was on, you could tell us who won the Super Bowl. It would be great. Well, welcome, Nadeem, to the show. Tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Sure. So I'm married to my beautiful wife, Tamara. Been married for 4 years now. We have two children, Emma and Chloe. Emma's 3.5, Chloe's 1.5. So I'm just loving the journey. Every day, something new, something different, and it's really fun. Parenting's awesome.
It is awesome. I could not agree with you more. I love being a parent. I love being a mom. It is the joy of my life. And as a homeschool mom, I get to experience it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, I used to think that I would not enjoy that. I used to think, why would I want to be with my kids all day, every day? But as it turns out, I actually really like my kids. And so I really do enjoy being with them most of the time. But in addition to thinking that I would not enjoy being with my kids, I also used to think that teaching them certain subjects would be really difficult. And math was at the top of that list. Math and science were the two things that I thought, man, if we ever homeschool, I don't know how I would do that. And I was pretty terrified of that in the beginning, because like I said, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, I did not enjoy math growing up. It was very difficult for me. And I love people. I love, you know, just, I love nature. I love things like that. But math was just one of the things I struggled with. And so coming into homeschooling, I thought, you know, I can handle the elementary school years, but getting into middle school and definitely into high school, I just thought, I don't know how in the world we're going to manage this, but I trusted that the Lord had a plan. And as he would have it, he has provided programs like CTC Math to come alongside us moms who, whether we love math or struggle with math, can help us with teaching math to our kids. So I want to talk a little bit about math. And first, I would love to ask you, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see homeschool moms making in teaching math to their kids?
Yeah, and math is an incredibly difficult subject to teach, and particularly in these older grade levels. But I think there's a few things that we can just try to ensure that we don't do during our homeschool day. One of the big things is the long drawn out explanation. If you go on a long explanation, if you take too much time or overcomplicate the explanation, students will often get lost. So we try to keep it short, try to keep for younger grades, 3 to 4 minutes. higher grades, 6 to 8 minutes. Another mistake that can sort of happen that's linked with that is giving too many diverse methods or too many methods to attack a problem. Now, every child is unique. So if your child loves math and they want to explore different ways to answer a problem, by all means, you want to expand on their strengths. But what we find is sometimes parents will overcomplicate it. So it's important to keep it short and not go into too many methods. Find the method that works best for your child. Another mistake that's often made is just getting caught up in the hype of discovery learning. And we're seeing this more and more often now. Don't get me wrong, discovery learning has its place and it is important, but let me give you a bit of an analogy. If you give a student a Rubik's Cube and you ask the student, hey, try to work this Rubik's Cube out with no instruction. They'll play with it, they'll fiddle it, they'll get it. Sure, maybe 1-2% might get it, and that's fantastic. But the majority, the vast majority, will get frustrated, annoyed, and put it down and not want to go back. But if I was to sit down with that same student and show them a small algorithm, a small quick technique on how to solve that Rubik's Cube, then they'll be able to solve it, they'll get excited, they'll be passionate, they'll want a bigger one, and then you can maybe go down that path of discovery learning with the bigger one and with the bigger Rubik's Cube and whatnot. But throwing them in the deep end to begin with can often beat up their confidence. Mm. And again, each child is unique. And that's sort of linked to rote times tables, rote learning your times tables. We believe it's really important to nail down those facts and have those facts learnt at a young age. It's proven, there's many studies that if students have a solid understanding of their times tables, math is far easier in those older grade levels and they can build on that. I know I've talked a lot about mistakes, but this is the biggest one. And this is the easiest one to commit. I want to start by saying this is not a criticism or anything. It's just a self-awareness. And I think sometimes, and I'm certainly guilty of this, is getting frustrated when teaching. If the child senses any bit of frustration, you can throw things out completely and you can lose them. So if you're sensing the frustration, it's important to get those levels down. The children a consequence of this can be that the student is completely scared or turned off coming to you, and this could be problematic in the future when they're coming to you with far more difficult problems as they grow up, much bigger than math. So I think trying to avoid any frustration, it is difficult.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take a quick break, then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is almost here. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers and have a chance to win valuable prizes. The price for this live and interactive online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton, daughter of the host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Do you love this show? Then stop listening. That's right. Pause the show right now and go leave a review on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Let others know how much you love it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Did you do it? Great. Now back to the show.
We are back with Nadeem. And before the break, you were just talking about the importance of not getting too frustrated with our kids when we're teaching them math. And, you know, we talk so much on the podcast about how one of the most important things in homeschooling is to build that relationship with our kids, because it's all about relationship. And we're, you know, the purpose of raising children in general is to prepare them for adulthood. And so we need to build that relationship with them. And like you said, if it's something that's causing a real rift in our relationship with our kids, then they're not going to all of a sudden think, well, you know, all of a sudden I just love math and I love it when my mom gets frustrated with me. That's never going to be the case. And so how, if you can maybe give some suggestions of when a child is really struggling with math, is it best to just put it aside for, you know, maybe 6 months or a year, or back up and take it a little bit slower, or maybe get a math tutor? I know a lot of homeschool families do that. What do you suggest in order to protect that relationship that we have with our kids? What do you suggest is a good way to do that?
Well, certainly, I think if you are struggling and it is a continual problem, I think you do need to maybe look at other resources and maybe outsourcing the teaching component of it. And you then become maybe the tutor, or they come to you, they get the bulk of their learning done, whether it be online, a personal tutor, what works best for you and your family. And then they come to you with a few problems. But in that moment of frustration, I think it's very important to remove yourself from that moment. I think it's very important to take a step back and say, you know, can we move on to a different subject, or is there something else that we can do today? This is what I love about homeschooling, the freedom, the complete freedom to sort of make the decision of what your day comprises of and what you're going to set out to do. I think it's important as well to maybe look at if there's another method, using different methodology that you could try to explain the problem, mm-hmm. or explain the question, or if you don't want to switch to another permanent resource, just finding a source for that particular concept that they might not be fully understanding. Might be that, you know, because math is a building block and it's important to build on concepts, it might be the fact that an earlier concept was missed. So you might need to do some revision from the previous year's work. Mm-hmm. And that's really important to just self-evaluate, have a look at the situation, have a good think about it, and try some different things.
So how do you go back? Because math obviously is a subject that builds on itself. And if our kids get to a point where they're just really struggling and they just can't get it, how do you back up? Because we've had that happen a couple of times where I'm like, man, I don't know what you're missing here. And partly because I'm not a math geek, I don't know what it is that they're missing. So is there a good system in place? Is there a good way to try to figure out, like, oh, that's the one piece of the puzzle that fell under the table, which is causing you to not be able to put this whole puzzle together at this point? Is there a good way to do that?
Yes and no. It comes down to the resource that you're using, really, I think.
Okay.
Because math is structured in such a way, and some curriculums do this better than others, but it should be really, if you look at the lessons, mm-hmm. they're incorporated within a topic. But within topics, it's actually a stream of math. So it might be the stream of measurement or the stream of algebra, or the stream of numbers, depending on the grade level and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there are particular streams, and there might be only three or four streams within a grade level that needs to be covered.
Okay.
So if a student is having troubles, simple example, if a student is having troubles with grade four fractions, well, maybe something was missing from grade three fractions. Mm-hmm. So if your curriculum is ordered in such a way that the streams flow through from grade level to grade level, and topics flow through from grade level to grade level, then you can easily identify the building blocks that happened prior. But as we know as well, sometimes math draws on, particularly in the older grade levels, draws on other concepts from different topics and other grade levels. And mm-hmm. if you're not entirely sure, I would suggest that you, at CTC Math, we would encourage parents to reach out, send us an email saying, hey, my child's having troubles with this, and we'd refer it on to one of our math teachers. They would have a look at it and make some suggestions. So
okay.
it, It does require a bit of in-depth knowledge. Detective work and in-depth knowledge of understanding the curriculum and how it's structured.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
I don't know if that answered your question. I hope it did.
Yes, it does. And I'm just going to give everyone your phone number and say, call Nadim. He'll help you.
I'll give you my email.
So let me ask you this, because I remember several years ago for the first time I heard, now remember, I'm not a math person. And I'm sure math was taught one of two ways when I was growing up, but I remember hearing the term spiral math and mastery math. And I was like, what in the world, what does that even mean? Can you explain the difference between the two? And is there a better way to teach math, or does it depend on the child and their learning style?
Sure. I think everything depends on a child. When I make comments, I make them about generalization. Mm-hmm. They're generalizations and the majority of students. So I think everything does depend on child, but I do make recommendations all the time, and they're based on what we see with the majority of students. So a quick definition. So mastery approach is when you focus on one concept at a time in math. Okay, as we know, math involves building blocks. But if you just focus on one concept and one particular thing, spiral incorporates revision. So incorporates learning with a buildup of concepts, which both naturally overlap, okay?
Okay.
So what's important? I believe both, okay? I believe both are important, but in separate parts of the day. So separate parts of the math lesson, I should say, not the day.
Okay.
So when it comes to teaching the content, I believe mastery is the best approach.
Okay.
Focus on the one concept. And that way, if you focus on the one concept and master that concept, you can build on it. Practice problems should be related specifically on that lesson that was just taught. So if you have a look at your homeschooling day, and I said keep the explanation to 3 to 4 minutes. So if we take a math lesson and we say it's 30 minutes, 3 to 4 minute explanation, 20 minutes or 15 minutes practice problems where it's just focusing on that concept. Now, depending on the concept, there will be some spiral learning there. There will be some earlier concepts covered.
Okay.
But then the last 5-10 minutes, spiral, revision, going back earlier concepts, mix up of problems, what you just learned, what you learned last week, what you learned last month, change it up. So when it comes to the teaching and the delivery, mastery approach, but incorporate spiral revision towards the end of the lesson.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because so it basically sounds like mastery is when they're learning the concept for the first time, they master that concept, and then they practice it through the spiral method, right? Spiraling sounds to me just like practice. So you just go back and you keep practicing it so that you don't forget it.
Correct. But okay. So with the practice problems, I would focus solely on that concept that was just taught. It might be, let's take a really simple example. Multiplication. Multiplication, and we're looking at four times tables. Okay.
Okay.
So questions with just four times certain numbers, 4 times 2, 4 times 6, 4 times 12, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Focus on that. And then maybe in the last 5-10 minutes, include earlier multiplication that you've learned. So mix it up. So have 4s, 3s, and 2s.
Okay.
And that would ensure that some revision, the mind thinking, and a spiral approach, a more wholesome approach to the actual because when you sit down and you attempt practice problems, you're not just focusing at a test. For instance, it's not just one concept. It's a whole range of concepts.
Right. Okay. So, in talking about multiplication tables, times tables, have you found that there's a best way to teach that to kids? Or again, I'm assuming it's depending on the child, but here's the thing. When you've got, you know, as many homeschool families do, when you've got 6 kids, you can't have 6 different ways to teach multiplication. So have you found, as, cause you're a math whiz, I know this about you. Have you found the most effective way that works best for a family in general? Like here, you know, try this with all your kids, and then you might have the one kid who doesn't learn that way, and maybe you can try a different approach with them. But does there seem to be a best way to teach multiplication?
rote learning. Sit down, write it out, keep working through it, keep revising it, keep practicing it, keep learning it, bounce it off siblings. If you do have those six children, get them to test each other, quiz each other at the dinner table, throw a few problems there. Rote learning.
Okay, just over and over and over again. We used to do classical conversations years ago, and we don't now because we travel so much, but when we were in a community, that was always a fun thing with rote memorization, is that we would do fun things like toss a ball back and forth or do jumping jacks or, whatever, just fun things that would get kids to remember those different facts. I agree. Rote memory is definitely, for times tables, the best way to get kids to memorize them. Now, do you suggest doing them where it's like, do all the twos times tables first, then all the threes and all the fours? Do you stack them like that? Or does it make sense to just try to kind of learn them all at the same time?
I would learn twos, learn threes, okay, learn fours.
Sure.
Okay. Now, you might want to, once you get to the fours, you might want to introduce some other math concept because they might be six times tables, and then go back and do five and six and seven, right, and whatnot.
Okay. 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 Great. Well, hey, we are out of time for this episode, but this is the first of two episodes that we're doing with you. So we're going to come back on Wednesday, and we're going to finish talking more about math. And Wednesday, we're going to talk about how to make math fun. So really quickly, people can find you. Is it ctcmath.com?
Correct. Yes. cdcmath.com.
Okay. We will have that in the show notes. You guys, thanks for listening. Join us again on Wednesday. We're going to have part two of this. We're going to talk about some ideas on how to make math fun for your kids. And have a good rest of your day. We'll see you back here on Wednesday.